Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Praise 103.9. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows. This is Miss Kayla, and I'm filling in for Tiffany Bacon, and I'm here with Marcos Mercado with Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Kayla. It's so good to see you, and good morning to all our friends who are listening here in Philadelphia, Charlotte, or online. It's always good to see you. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer, but we want to give you this number so you can get in on the conversation, 855-454-5905. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and God, thank you so much for this morning, God. I do pray that you open people's minds and hearts, God, as they are listening to this show. Father, I pray that you would bless today's broadcast, God, that it truly would be an inspiration to so many who are searching for hope and direction. And Father, I pray you give me the words of wisdom, God, to be able to inspire and advise those who are hurting. Thank you for Kayla this morning, God, and I pray together we can really make a difference and impact people's lives. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, today's topic is beyond the conflict.
Wow.
Conflict. And I'm going to go ahead and talk about that in just a moment. But I do want, Kayla, if you can give out that number once again.
Yes, 855-454-5905. That's 855-454-5905.
And our theme scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter roots grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. And, you know, we got to talk about this morning the conflict that we have in marriage, in relationships. You know, according to Dr. Willard Harley, who's the author of the book His Needs, Her Needs, you know that he talks about there are three stages to every relationship. Stage number one, everyone loves, is the bliss stage, the honeymoon stage, you know, that stage where you feel like you're just connected with each other. And I'm not just talking about in a romantic way or even a sexual way, but really just connected. You feel like you're in sync. And then there's that conflict stage. And I really know many people who like that stage, but it's inevitable. Every couple, every relationship, you know, will have conflict.
Right.
Now, the true question is, how long do you stay in that conflict stage? Are you in consistent conflict? Are you, you know, just in conflict for a little bit? You kind of reconcile, make up, go back to that stage of being connected? Or are you in conflict right now? And then last but really the worst stage is the stage of being withdrawn. You know, if you're in conflict long enough, there's a part of us that just wants to guard our and protect our hearts. We don't like the pain that comes from conflict, so we withdraw, and that is a very dangerous place to be. And so we want to talk this morning about the conflict stage. Are you in conflict? Are you heading towards withdrawal? Or are you in a very romantic, connected stage? So we want to hear from you. The number to reach us is 855-454-5905. And I know, Kayla, when I said the conflict, your eyebrows went up a little bit because everybody goes through that, right? No one likes that stage. But what do you do? You've been married how long, Kayla?
I've been married 11 years. It'll be 12 on June the 14th.
All right. So you're about to hit 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, a dozen years together.
Wow.
And you have two beautiful girls, right?
Yes, yes.
And let me ask you this. So what happens when you have conflict?
Well, I have been through all of these stages. I remember them well, and thankfully I am beyond that, but I do remember those seasons when we did have conflict. And even in the withdrawal stage is a stage that I remember well on both sides. And I had to pray the prayer that the Lord would increase my love for my husband and for my family. And I would do that on my own, because there were times, even in our relationship, where we were going through turmoil, where we weren't praying together, which really makes a difference. And that's something that you have to do. Now we're beyond that stage, and the Lord has increased our love for each other. And also, he has become the total center of our relationship, where in our early years, I can't say that that was always in terms of the two of us coming together to pray to the Lord together was something that always happened. And it has definitely made a difference. But when I was in those trying times, I definitely prayed about the Lord increasing my love for my husband, even while I was angry, even while I was withdrawn, because at the end of everything, I wanted our marriage to last. And I knew that is what, you know, you have to stay the course. And well, in my case, that I was able to see the end and know that I wanted the two of us to be together, and that God would increase my love while he was working on my husband.
There you go. I like that. I like that. So even while there was pain, there was hurt, disappointment, and you were not connected, you felt like as you prayed, God helped you to increase that love you had for your husband.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to even still just be kind when you all are upset with each other, you know, to just do kind things.
It was like, what, get your own plate of food.
That's
I cook just for me and the girls. That's it. No one else. No one else gets that. Well, we want to hear from you. Are you in conflict, or are you withdrawn, or are you even just needing some direction, some help in how to get out of that stage of conflict? Once again, we want to give you the number, 855-454-5905, so you can get in on the conversation. And, you know, Kayla, I just want to mention this past week, for all those of you, if you missed it, we had an amazing, amazing time at the Inspiration and Music Conference here in Philadelphia. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We had Marriage Beyond the Vows with David and Tamela Mann, with Pastor Charles Jenkins and his wife Tara. It was truly, truly phenomenal. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples that attended the Marriage Beyond the Vows workshop. It was so encouraging, and there was so much hope there, right? Couples who were really struggling on their way in and just left with some inspiration and hope. And look, it's over now, but hopefully when you hear about this again, you would make sure you get on that right away.
That's right.
I think one of the greatest things that I see is when husbands and wives, even as much as they're struggling or they're in conflict, they do what they need to get that help. And just making that trip together, you know, going to this workshop together, shows you that they're fighting for their marriage. And I think that's the key. Instead of fighting each other, you got to fight for the marriage. You got to fight together. Once again, we want to give you the number. Some of the you already starting to call in. We're going to take your calls in just a moment. But if you have not done so already, we want to give you this number once again. And Kayla, if you can get that.
That's right. 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. May I say one thing, Marcos?
Sure, please.
While you were speaking about people coming to our Inspiration and Music Conference and seeking the help that they needed, it made me think about seeking wise counsel and how important that is. You know, making sure that you speak with someone that that is married, you know, and they love each other, and also to talk to people who care about your marriage and want your marriage to do well. Because if you're in conflict and you're talking to your single girlfriends that are upset and they want you to go out with them, you know, and they're maybe not so invested in you and your husband doing well, those aren't the folks that I think you should be going to for wise counsel. And you need to talk with people, you know, make wise decisions about who you are asking for help from. And of course, coming to you and your wife and coming to our Inspiration and Music Conference, or also seeking counseling from people that can help you, definitely is wise counsel. And even you all calling in today. So
absolutely,
we're thankful.
Absolutely. One of the things we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. I want to read the scripture to you. When we come back, we're going to take a call from Kirk, who wants some help and guidance in terms of his relationship. But in actually, you know what we'll do? Titus chapter 2. Go ahead, and all of you who are have your Bibles handy, go to Titus chapter 2. When we get back, we're going to read a verse from that, and then we're also going to take your calls. We have Kirk, who will be waiting patiently. And once again, while we have this break, give us a call at 855-454-5905. 800-480-5905. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're just tuning in, I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And with me this morning is Miss Kayla.
Hey.
And she later on is going to give you some tips on how to spice up your relationship.
Uh-oh.
All right. But right before the break, we're mentioning that we're bringing in Kirk. Kirk is a caller from Philadelphia. He's on line one, and he has a question about how to help his wife. So good morning, Kirk. You're live on the air with praise.
Hey, good morning, man. God bless you guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing excellent. Thank you so much. So what is your comment or question for us today?
Well, you know, my wife does not like to socialize.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And we always get into an argument because if I want to go on a double date, because she thinks that is not her family member, she don't want to go. She don't want to participate in the parties and the going out and, you know what I mean, stuff like that. We always get into argument over that.
Okay. Well, so, Kirk, how long have you been married?
You know, we've been married last year, August.
Okay.
So this year is going to be our first year being married, but we've been together for almost 6 years.
Okay, so you've been together for 6 years. So you knew. Now, was she like this before the marriage? She's never liked to socialize?
I mean, she always been like that. You know, that's how I met her. She's kind of a low-key type of person. I can't, you know, there's some things that you can't change a person, but you can just talk to them and let them know that, you know, this is what you like and what you don't like. I mean, over a period of time, some things should change, but the socializing thing is one of the biggest thing that we always have a big issue with.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's talk about this for a minute, Kirk. I think number one, you know, I think it's important for her to understand that it's not just for the sake of socializing, but really building relationships. And maybe she is just someone who takes a while to really open up. She's out of her comfort zone. What if a couple just went over to your place for dinner? Would she feel better if it's at home?
She feels better if I invite you over, she's okay with that. But then if you turns around and invite us over to your place, she don't want to go.
Okay.
That's the problem that I'm having, because it's like I think it's unfair, you know, for us for here's us inviting people, but then when they ask us out, you don't want to show up, or you don't feel like it.
And what's the reason?
Odd, you know?
What reason does she give?
I mean, she just is a very low key. Let me put it like this: I'm a funny guy. I'm a networking. I believe in networking. I believe in socializing.
Okay.
You know, knowing new people, because that's how I met a lot of people and stuff like that.
Okay.
Her mentality is, if I don't know you, if you're not my family, if I see you at church, but we only know each other 2 months, you get an idea what I'm trying to say?
Oh, I got you. And Kirk,
she don't interact with you if you're mainly you're not her family, and I don't like that.
Okay, and it sounds like it. It's obvious that really, really bothers you. I think, Kirk, number one, you're going to have to be really patient with your wife. There's probably a reason. She's probably had some really bad experiences, or maybe it's just how she's designed. She's made that way. Not everybody is an extrovert like you. She's probably even, does she know you're calling?
No, I left her home because I'm at work.
You left her home. Well, right now, if she even knew, she's probably cringing. Like, oh, you're telling our business. You know, she'd probably be really uncomfortable.
No, I talk about this stuff in front of everybody with her sometimes.
Exactly.
Sometimes I try to explain stuff. Like, if I'm sitting around with, like, five other couples, Uh-huh. When we're talking about relationship, I'll bring it out.
I understand. I'm just saying she's probably not very comfortable with that. You know, I want to share something with you that I believe it should help you. And it's in Acts chapter 2. And I love this verse here. It says it's the first century church. And there's one part here. It says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I think, you know, because there's a spiritual reason for relationships, you're going to have to help your wife, but you're going to have to be really patient. It might not just change overnight. I'm pretty confident it's not going to change overnight. But I think you're going to have to really talk her through it. Like you said, if people start coming over first, maybe it's going to take two or three times for that couple to come over before she feels comfortable going over to their place. But you need relationships. Kirk, it's not even been a year. If you're going to have a lasting marriage, a healthy marriage, you're going to need relationships. And I think that's what she needs to know. And maybe she needs some time to think and pray and choose, even if it's one or two couples that you will have in your lives. But you're going to have to be very, very patient with her and not try to rush her into that. Otherwise, you'll be very frustrated and she'll be very discouraged.
I think it have a little selfishness in it as well, because if her family invite us over and I tell her that I'm not going, she get upset.
Sure, because she loves her family.
I think it's a little selfishness inside of it.
It could be selfishness, but I think you also got to be, you can't be selfish because you need that. You're going to have to meet her where she is. You understand? She's just not there. So can she be selfish? Yes, but I think you can as well, and you want to make sure that you're meeting her where she's at.
Also, I think it would be important to, with the friends that you have over, like Marco said, if you have a couple of, like, have one set of friends and you have them over a couple of times, and then, you know, let her get to know them, and also give her some choices within the couples that she would like to hang out with, so that it's not everyone. Like, maybe there's one that you guys see a couple times at your house and she becomes friends with the other woman, then it makes it easier than, you know, introducing new people and you just want to hang out with a big group of people. Like, it takes me a while to feel comfortable, like, in a smaller social setting, you know, where someone becomes my friend and I want to see them, you know, often, instead of just, you know, having to socialize with, like, maybe you're friends with the husband, but she's not really friends with the wife, but it's still, you know, we're going to go out with them. That can be uncomfortable it's not somebody you get along with really well.
Amen. And Kirk, we hope and pray that this would help you and that you would be very patient with your wife, but you help her spiritually to see why you need relationships.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to try and be that. I've been very patient with her. But I love my wife.
It doesn't sound like you've been very patient, honestly. It doesn't sound like you've only been married.
I love my wife. That's just that. That's just the only thing.
Okay.
The woman can cook. She can clean. She can take care of
her business. We got you, Kirk. Well, thanks so much. Thank you so much for your call. And we hope and pray this helps. This helps you out. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kirk. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And with me this morning is Miss Kayla, who later on will share some good tips on how to help you spice up your relationship. Don't worry. She was prepped. She knew this for days now that she was ready for this. And her husband's going to have to call in and help her out a little bit as well.
He sure is.
But we're going to go ahead and go right back to the phone lines. But before we do, I want to give you the number, 855-454-5905. We're talking about dealing with conflict, and I believe we have Sarita, who is calling in from the Philadelphia area. Good morning, Sarita. You're live in the air with Praise.
Hi, good morning. I was calling because I'm thinking I'm going through the withdrawal stage with my husband and I right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've been together for 3 years. The first year was, like, it was halfway cool. When we got married, we immediately began to have children.
Okay.
But so, like, once we moved out of our folks' house and into our own bill setting, and issues started coming, and then we're past the arguing stage, but I don't feel emotionally connected to him the way I did before we were married.
Okay. So 3 years you've been married. Let me ask you a few questions, and then I will be able to tell you. It's pretty easy to kind of pinpoint where you are. Are you living under the same roof still? Are you together? Yes. Do you sleep in the same bed?
Yes.
Okay.
Sort of.
He
works overnight, so he's off two nights out of the week.
Okay, but when he is home and from work, you are sleeping together.
Yes.
Okay. What if your husband just decided to walk away from the relationship? How would you feel?
I'm kind of like I would feel some type of way, but at the same time I wouldn't. I'm kind of 50-50 with it.
Okay. All right. So you're probably not totally withdrawn, but you're getting there. What I mean by that is when someone is fine, when they're at that withdrawn stage, and they totally have withdrawn, they don't care. I mean, literally, your husband could come home, not come home, decide to stay, decide to go. I mean, it just doesn't matter to you because you guard your heart. However, it sounds like you're right. You're not far from that stage. When you said 50-50, you know, most couples, when they hear that if their spouse will leave them, it will still hurt a lot. Because they're even though they're hurting and they're in conflict, they still feel that connection. You are not totally there anymore, and that's very dangerous. What about your husband? Do you know where he is?
I believe he's like he will feel hurt a lot.
Okay.
He wants me to be more open up, like as far as expressing my feelings and attractions towards him. And things to that nature. So he's really into me still.
Okay.
And I don't quite feel the same way.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah. Please explain that. What happened?
I think it was the children. Like my first pregnancy was really hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it took, and even now it when I talk about it, I get a little emotional. So he wasn't quite the best husband during that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Our second child, he was a whole lot better, but after that first mishap and then all the arguing that we were going through, it made me build up that wall that we tend to build up to protect our heart.
And you know what? That theme scripture, I don't know if you heard us at the opening, but that theme scripture says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." You know, a bitter root is interesting because it starts small, but it's a root, and then it grows. And the more it grows, the more pain, the more bitterness you have. And it sounds like something happened when you went through this pregnancy. Perhaps he could have done a better job and be more supportive. It could have been an opportunity that he could have drawn closer to you. But instead, maybe he didn't even know what to do or how to do what. And at this point, you're that hurt has grown where now you really don't feel like you love him anymore. The good news, you want to hear the good news, Sarita?
Yeah.
Is you can change. I mean, do you believe that God put you and your husband together, that it's a marriage from God?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you believe that, and I know you're calling because you're fighting for your marriage, you're going to have to really wrestle and get rid of that bitter root you have there. And it starts with, I believe, praying and fasting and really getting to the point of forgiving your husband, whatever it is.
Hmm.
And you might have to have great conversations. He might get it right away. He might not. He might be oblivious. He might say, well, what's wrong with you? But you're going to have to be really loving and patient. And I love what Kayla shared earlier. I don't know if you caught that, but she said that there was a time where she was feeling really hurt and she kind of withdrew from her husband. She feels that he was the same way. And so she just started really going to God. If you can share that with Sarita.
Listening to you, my prayer was that the Lord would increase my love for my husband. And I understand, you know, there was a time when, and actually my husband just, and, you know, apologized to me for, there was a time when he was going through some things, you know, there was some deaths in his family and there were multiple deaths and he was really upset about it. And then I had two deaths back to back in my family, my grandmother and my aunt, and he wasn't able to, I was there, you know, for him, but he wasn't able to be there for me. And it really hurt me. And for a long time, I held on to that and I was bitter, you know, for a very long time. And I withdrew from the relationship. But I had to add, because I knew what I wanted the end to be, that we would grow old together and that our love would continue, even when I was angry and bitter, you know, even though, mm-hmm. and I can't even say I was still angry, but I was bitter about it.
Sure.
Because I knew what the end, what I saw at the end, and I wanted that to be, and what God wanted for us, and also that he brought us together for a reason. You know, I was able to pray that prayer while I was still bitter and hurt. And actually, just this past week, my husband sat down with me and apologized to me for it. And that was years ago. And I had already forgiven him. And I was able to say, baby, I already forgave you. Mm-hmm. But it took time and it took prayer. So I understand your hurt. You have to pray that prayer and allow God to do what he's going to do and still be kind. You can't just pray the prayer and still be upset or bitter. You got to pray that prayer and then be kind and do Amen. Those things that God calls Amen. On us to be and do
and
as wives.
Sarita, this is not an easy task, but it goes against, you know, Luke 9:23 says you deny yourself and take up your cross. Those are the moments when you deny yourself the most. You go against what you want and you mm-hmm. feel, and you give it to God. And you say, listen, I need this. I love, you know, deep inside, I know you love your husband because you would not have called. You're looking for a solution, not a way out. So I want to encourage you. This, you know, one last thing I want to say here is when people are withdrawn and they start going back and getting better, sometimes it feels worse because you're going back to that conflict stage. And sometimes couples are like, what happened? I thought I was getting better. You're helping right. me, but it looks worse. No, it's that you're actually feeling things again. And so I just want to give you a small warning there that it might get worse before it gets better, but it means you're heading in the right direction.
Okay.
All right. Well, Sarita, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you calling.
Yeah, thank you, Sarita.
Thank you.
All right, have a blessed day.
We want you to make sure that you call us. We want to hear from you. We want to know what stage you're in marriage. There's three stages, and Marcos talked about them. What stage are you in? Please give us a call. The number is 855-454-5905, 855-454-5905.
And, you know, sometimes we're not sobered about where we are in terms of our relationship. So some of you might be listening, you're like, I don't know, maybe I'm okay, I'm connected. You know what? You might be, but your spouse might not be.
Right.
They might feel like they're withdrawn, or they might feel like they're just having so much conflict that instead of drawing closer to you, they start moving away from you. Mm-hmm. Because no one wants that. You know, there was a time in my relationship that I had to tell my wife, I'm like, listen, coming home, I want it to be a haven. It didn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where she has felt the same way, where she's had told me, listen, I want to be close and talk, but it's just we're having so many disagreements. And usually we disagree about the stupidest, dumbest, littlest thing. I mean, like, what in the world? But it's really not the issue, right? It's that something else is going on.
Right.
So it's no longer, you know, that you leave the cap off of the toothpaste or the toilet seat is left up, or, you know, you drank all the milk in the fridge and left the carton empty. I mean, it's not about those things. It's really something else. Mm-hmm. And then you know it when you start having some kind of disagreement and you bring back the past.
Right.
You're like, you always do this, or you never do that. Those are absolutely fighting words, and you don't want to use them. So I think that there's hope, but it starts with us having a self-reflection. I want to encourage all of you who are listening right now, this is not a time for you to point out everything your spouse is doing, but it's to reflect on yourself and say,
right.
Where am I? What am I doing? What am I not doing? Because, you know, there is hope. There is a solution if you are humble, if you're willing to get some help. So again, we're talking about Beyond the Conflict here on Praise, your inspiration station. And the number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Something else you can do, and we'll hit in just a moment, is you can go to our Facebook page. You go to facebook.com, Marriage Beyond the Vows. Hit the like button and get in on the conversation. We're going to continue here with the phone lines, where I believe we have another caller from Philly, Sharon, calling on line one. Hello, Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sharon. We're doing very well. What is your comment or question for us this morning?
Well, just listening to your topic where you are in the stage of your marriage, and currently I'm in the withdrawal stage.
Okay.
And I just feel that I'm hurt, you know, because there's been a lot of things that transpired in my marriage. And when you were talking about when you're in the withdrawal stage, that you don't feel anything. It doesn't matter whether they stay or they go, if they stay out half the night, if they come home, if they don't come home. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am. And we've been through a lot of things, and like my husband is now trying to come back, but I don't care. Mm. And I don't want to get bitter. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. And I'm fighting off the bitterness, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard not to be bitter, because sometimes I feel like that's the only way that I can continue to protect my heart.
And you know what? You're right. It is a way to protect yourself, but it's not the right thing to do unless there's a reason why you're not ready to reconcile. And you said something that kind of I feel like we need to have a little bit more of a discussion about. And you're saying he's making his way back. So is he out of the house right now?
No, I'm actually moving out.
Okay, so you're moving out, but he's making his way back. Can you explain that?
Because he knows that I'm moving out, and he doesn't want me to move out.
Okay, but you haven't moved out yet. So what are you waiting for? What held you back from just moving out right away?
Oh, I'm putting stuff in my car.
Oh, you're talking about literally as we're talking.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Well. Here's the deal. What do you want from this relationship? Do you believe that it should be salvaged?
Yes.
Okay. You're just so hurt. You just want out.
Yes.
Okay. And what if you don't mind sharing with us, Sharon, what is your husband doing or continually doing that is causing the greatest amount of grief and hurt?
Addiction.
Okay, so it's addiction. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's a little bit different when it's your case, because I think there are two things going on. Number one is what's going on in your heart. Number two is what's going on in his life. So mm-hmm. I think the withdrawn part makes sense, because you don't want to be in this roller coaster, right, up and down, especially with someone who's an addict. Usually they lie, they tell you anything, but their actions don't really balance out or don't are not really accurate, right? Their actions are very different than their words.
Right.
And so you're looking for the action. Has your husband checked himself into a rehab, or is he willing to do that?
No, he's been in and out of rehab, and now at this stage, he feels as though he doesn't need it. He feels as though that he has enough under his belt where he can get back on his own.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's a good point. All right, so what you're telling me, by what you're sharing, based on what you're sharing, he's not ready to change.
No, he's not.
Because if he were, and that doesn't mean you can't help him to get there, but he's not ready. You know, one of the scriptures that I share with people all the time is 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul talks about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. And it says worldly sorrow leads to death, but godly sorrow brings repentance. And then there's a fruit of having that godly sorrow. So your husband right now is obviously not truly, he doesn't have godly sorrow, because if he did, he would have changed, number one, because of God. Number two, you would see the fruit. You would see the radicalness. However, Sharon, you have a great opportunity right now to help him and to put your foot down and say, listen, you want me to stay? I will only stay on one condition. You go to rehab right now. So it's either I leave.
Had that conversation, though.
Okay.
We've already had that conversation.
And he said no?
Yes.
Okay, right. So then you have to follow through. You have to do what you said you would do. Like you said, you're putting your stuff in the car. If you need to leave, and that's different. However, I want to ask you and for you to pray to God to see if what will it take for your husband to get to where he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want you to go and take him back or move back in until he shows you true repentance. Because if not, then he'll never get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because he can tell you the right thing. Even after you leave, maybe he thinks you're bluffing, but he sees you're for real. He'll say, okay, I'll do it now. No. You do it first. You show me you're different. I see that you're different. We get some counseling, and then we move back in.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, definitely. This is just confirmation where I've been told already. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's difficult. You know, I know what I need to do. Actually, I procrastinated. I should have left in February.
Sure.
Because God set up a situation where he exposed him 100%. and I should have left then, you know, but I procrastinated because this is a second marriage for me.
Wow.
So it's that much more difficult for a second marriage. You know, the first one was bad, and now I'm going through it again. I held on so long because I'm like, I don't want another.
Yeah.
We hear you. You know what you should do, Sharon, if you are an avid reader, there's a great book out there called Safe People by Henry Cloud. It is is an excellent, excellent resource to be able to learn even what you're learning here in your second marriage and, and dealing with someone like your husband right now who refuses to change. I think it would help you a ton. I mean, at the moment you crack open that book, you're going to notice. You're going to be like, wow, this sounds like my life.
Okay.
They give very biblical advice as well. Very good book called Safe People.
Safe People.
Yes. S-A-F-E, safe.
Okay.
All right. Well, Sharon, God bless you. Thank you so much. We'll be praying for you. And I hope and pray your husband, you know, it doesn't take too long, but your husband will come to the reality of the wrong ways that he's going, that he will realize that.
Thank you.
God bless you, Sharon. Thank you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and our topic is Beyond the Conflict. We want you to give us a call, 855-454-5905.
All right, well, you know, we have some more callers calling in right now, but we do want you to call us. Like Kayla just said, 855-454-5905, and if you're on the road, we just want you to pull over. We don't want you to be talking.
That's
even
right.
Through your headset. Sometimes we can't hear you clearly, but we want you to do that. And also, we want you to go to Facebook.com and go to Marriage Beyond the Vows. That is our Facebook page. We love social media. We love stay connected throughout the week. And people have been talking a lot about our Inspiration and Music Conference. We want you to go to Facebook.com right now, Marriage Beyond the Vows, and get in on the conversation. What did you think about the Inspiration and Music Conference? Or our topic today, what do you think in terms of the conflict that you're going through? If you're in the conflict stage with your spouse, or you're not sure if you're in that conflict stage, we want to have this discussion. Now, Kayla, we have mentioned earlier that at some point you would get some tips. Now, do you want to... I see. She's looking at a picture of her husband. Look at that. So nice.
Yeah.
Well, look, the reality is, kid is like, man, it's hard to talk about the real deep and intimate stuff. Well, we know that. Many of you do that. But we do want to give some pointers. And I really do appreciate, Kayla, what you shared, how when things were not going well in your relationship, you started praying for God to increase your love for your spouse. I mean, wow. That's actually like contrary to what you probably wanted to do at that moment. You're like, God, I don't want to love him more because it hurts more. But what got you to even think that way or start praying that way when things were tough?
I know that it also, like, it hurt my heart to feel that bitter and upset because I wanted, you know, when my husband, praise God, is my best friend. And not having him there to talk to, and he was there physically, but not mentally, you know, and that's difficult. Or when you feel like somebody doesn't see you, you know, and you're right there, that's difficult. Or you don't see them and they're right in front of you. That is also difficult. And I guess I've always been the kind of person who I always wanted things to go well. You know, and if they, I don't know. It might have even been some really good advice that I had friends and have friends during that time that I talked to a good friend of mine who's married, Maureen Booker, and her husband, you know, Ken Booker. They love each other. They have a healthy, the Bookers. Yeah, they're good people to have. I'll talk to you about them later, but they really loved each other, and they set a good example, a good godly example of marriage. And for me to be able to talk with Maureen, who's my friend, about how I was feeling, she was able to help me through those times and to remind me, you know, even while I'm feeling bitter and I'm having, and I, you know, crying out to God and asking him who I should share this information with, who can help me. So I started there. I didn't just say, oh, I'm going to call my girlfriend on the telephone and talk to her. I said, Lord, I need your help please send me someone or let me know who that person is. And he kept dropping Maureen in my spirit just over and over again, and talking with her and praying with her, and also getting examples of a good, healthy marriage of a couple that loved the Lord. It was able to, that was able to help me through that time. And probably, she probably is the person that told me to pray about increasing, you know, that God would increase my love for my husband.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm very thankful.
All right. All right. And then from that, we want to hear what you did to spice things up. All right. The bookers might be able to call in and help you out as well.
Oh, maybe I'll
call
them.
Let's go right back to our phone lines where Mary has been waiting patiently on line one. Mary is calling from Pennsylvania. Good morning, Mary. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're doing great. We're having a discussion about conflict, which obviously is not comfortable. It's not easy to talk about, but it's necessary.
Yes, it is.
So, Mary, what's happening?
I'll try and briefly tell you what's going on. My background is from an alcoholic background, and my family, and there's quite a bit of it and a lot of addiction on my side. And I have a brother who had just... who had for 45 years had been carrying something that had happened to him in our home when we were little. And, you know, from that point on, he spiraled down for 45 years and never told anybody until recently. And his whole life has been a mess, alcohol and drugs, and in and out of rehab. And then he tried to commit suicide last year, and that was when he went into rehab, and successfully has been doing well for 8 months. Mm-hmm. And the situation came up where he had to leave the rehab because of something that happened there, not on his part, but somebody else there, and he left. He had asked us if he could stay at our home, and I have a 16-year-old daughter, I'm trying to understand both sides because I'm emotionally connected, and my husband can step outside of that. And he said that he doesn't feel comfortable with that because even though he doesn't think anything would happen with where he is now, but relapsing is, you know, this how quickly you can. He just doesn't want that in the home. So I'm just kind of trying to get somebody outside of the.
I got you. I got you. So let me ask you a question. So is he open to that counseling?
Who's that? My brother?
Yes. It sounds like you.
He's in AA. He does the program. He's so involved in it. He's doing very, very well. He has no, you know, that he's doing really well with. It's just the situation when he asked to stay. On our end, my husband doesn't feel comfortable having that. If there's any chance of any kind of relapsing.
Well, there's always a chance, right, which is unfortunate. It's a risk that you have to be able to take together, right? It's a risk that you have to be able to take together.
Yeah. I was also thinking about whether or not she had children. And what a difference that makes in having someone that is abusing on, you know, whether or not she has children, you know, that can definitely, that can be something very uncomfortable.
It's true, you know, and you have to be unified when it comes to family. I think we might have lost Mary, maybe Mary, if you can call us back. But one of the things that I realize is you got to be unified, your husband and you. You know, this is a big decision.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts your family. And really, I can't even, there's no scripture that says which is right and wrong.
Right.
Even the Good Samaritan didn't put him in his house, right? He put him someplace else.
That's right.
But he paid for it. So there's a difference between taking the responsibility of helping someone and actually bringing them into your home. And that's a big decision, something that you definitely have to pray about and be unified before you do it. But Mary, we thank you so much for that call. And thank you for listening.
And also, even... thinking about him being the husband, being the head of the household, you know, that those things make a difference, too, in how he feels.
Okay. And we're going to take a brief break. And talking about spicing things up, we have Reverend Mack. Reverend Mack is going to be sharing with us. Reverend, please stay on the line. And Kayla, you as well. Don't forget, we're going to talk about spicing things up right when we come back from this break. But in the meantime, give us a call at 855-454-5905. And we'll be talking about how to spice up your relationship right after this.